reading from 1 Peter 5, 1 to 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Reading of this morning's scripture, and thank you, Jared Amanda, for that wonderful offertory. Greater things are yet to come, amen? And worship team, that was a wonderful time of worship that you led us in. And the last song that you guys led us in, we were proclaiming, I'm free. Are we free? Free to run? Free to run? Free to dance? Free to live for Him? Are you free? Amen. Praise God. And we look to Him this morning to continue to strengthen our lives as followers of Jesus, as disciples who are free to live His life and love in the world wherever we are located. Well, this is an important day in the life of our congregation. As I came to church this morning, I was thinking of Psalm 118:24. I think it's 26. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord has made this day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And especially on the occasion of this particular day, I was just thinking back of the ways in which we have seen God at work in our lives and in our congregation. And to me, there is no doubt that God has planned and prepared for the events of this day. Later in the service, Mark is going to share how the search committee has sensed God's direction so clearly in our work. Chris will share how he and Ginger sensed the leading of the Lord in their lives. And I will long remember the congregational meeting we had several months ago when we sat together here for, I think, about 2 hours, and we prayerfully spoke and listened to one another and to the Holy Spirit. And we affirm together that God is calling Chris Wint to pastoral ministry here at Finland. And we rejoice this morning in the way God has led. We rejoice this morning in the way He has worked among us. And I really believe, Chris and Ginger, that the evidences that we've seen can continue to be an assurance to you folks that as God has led, He will provide. Now, we're looking at the scripture that Ruth read this morning. And I think it's important that as we listen for God's word from that passage, that we remember the historical context. And the first message that Chris gave here from 1 Peter for us, he told us a little about what was going on at the time of this writing. These were tumultuous and dangerous times for God's people in Rome. I mean, the Emperor Nero was a kind of erratic person, and all of Rome trembled. And at one point, as Chris told us, when Nero wanted a bigger and a better Rome, he had large portions of Rome burnt down so that he could reconstruct something bigger and better. And he blamed the Christians for having done it. The Christians were responsible for the catastrophe. The Christians were responsible, according to his report, for all the great loss. And so if you still have your Bibles open there at Peter 5, across the page in verse 4, it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you." It seems to me that that's the kind of thing that Peter was referring to. The Christians had become objects of this kind of persecution. Now, all of Rome was trembling, and yet the Christians especially were made out to be the culprits for this great loss in the city of Rome. And so Peter says, again, notice there in verse 17, he says, it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And by that, I believe he means to say, this is going to be a time of purging. There's some folks who have just kind of been going along for the road, for the ride. And those folks are going to be sifted out. They're going to be sifted apart from those who are truly committed to Christ. And that it's in this context that Peter addresses the elders and the pastors of this whole region. In chapter 1, verse 2, he lists all the cities, all the regions that are being addressed. This letter is probably being addressed to hundreds of house churches and hundreds of pastors and elders. And we would suggest that the title to this scripture that we're looking at this morning is How to Care for God's People in Times of Suffering. How to Care for God's People in Times of Suffering. Now, I think it's hard for us to imagine the extent to which God's people were suffering at this time. And I try to think of something that we may be acquainted with, that in our minds we could identify with, to understand the degree of suffering they were experiencing. And I think of our spiritual ancestors. I think of what our spiritual ancestors experienced in the middle 1500s. Thousands and tens of thousands of our forefathers and mothers went through extreme persecution, experiencing some of the most gruesome and torturing deaths. And why? Why were they experiencing that? Because they believed that if a person has truly been born again, his or her life will demonstrate the character of Jesus. If a person has truly been born again, that person will have an interest in the values of the kingdom of God, as Jesus expressed them in the Sermon on the Mount. They further believed that a person isn't born into the kingdom of God simply because he is born into a nominal Christian home, but a person is born into the kingdom of God when he or she makes a commitment to Jesus Christ, and that commitment is made public in baptism. And it was that act, the act of baptism as an adult believer at that time, that was viewed to be heresy. It was almost seen to be an act of treason against the state, against the state church. And that was the cause of thousands and tens of thousands of people to go through great suffering and martyrdom. Now, more recently, we might think of what folks have been experiencing in China in the last decade. And the reason I bring that up is because I know numbers of you have read books that have come out of the underground church in China. But I'm trying to help us to sense something that we can compare to get a feel of what the Christians were experiencing in terms of suffering at this time. Now, we're grateful for the system of government that we have in our country. We are grateful for the freedoms that we have to practice our faith, but we should never forget that right now, throughout the world, there are tens of thousands of people who are meeting in secret with the fear of being arrested if they are found out because they are meeting. And I would also observe that we too live in a subtly dangerous time. The influence of secularism and materialism in our lives, the breakdown of morals and values in our culture, does influence the lifestyle of our people. And the call for pastors and parents who will take seriously the call to shepherd the flock is every bit as critical today as it was in Peter's time. And so I want to lift out for you three B's. I don't have a sermon reference sheet this morning, and so you don't have something right there in front of you to write things down in case you want to. But three B's for pastors, for leaders, for parents. Three B's. First of all, verse 2. Got your Bible there? B be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Now, the shepherding terminology doesn't carry a whole lot of meaning in our part of the world. So maybe it could say, take good care of the people who have been entrusted to you in your family, in the youth group, in the congregation. Take good care of the people who have been entrusted to you. Teach them what they need to know. Warn them when they need to be warned. Encourage them when they need to be encouraged. Comfort them when they need to be comforted. And treat them as though you are responsible for them, because you are. We are. Notice what it says at the end of verse 3. Not lording over those entrusted to you. Acts 20:28, Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders when he says, watch over the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit is making us overseers. Now, it's interesting to me that the one aspect of shepherding that is lifted out both in Acts 20 and also in our text this morning is the whole thing of serving as overseers. You see that there in the middle of verse 2? That's the one aspect of shepherding that is lifted out. We are to regularly look over the flock. We're to regularly look over the flock to discern what are the issues or the experiences that are distressing or threatening the flock. And then we are to provide the ministries that will keep one another strong and faithful and fruitful, even in difficult circumstances. So be shepherds, be shepherds. And then it says, be eager. You notice that? Shepherd the flock, not because you must, but be willing. And then at the end of verse 2, it says, be eager to serve. Serve because you want to, because you love to, because you delight to. Serve because you love this people, and you love the people of this region, and you long to see the people of this region experience the same kind of renewal that God, by His grace, is allowing us to experience. But let me ask this question. Why is it that some of these elders, pastors, would not have been eager, right, ready to jump in, ready to serve? Why was it? Because times were tough. And when Christians are the focus of persecution, who is especially singled out? The leaders. The leaders. It was that way from the beginning of the church. Stephen was the most articulate spokesman for the first church, and he was the first martyr of the church. James was the recognized leader of the church, and he was the second martyr of the church. And so these elders and pastors are being addressed, and some of them are reluctant to move into their position. Some of them probably say, hey, you know, I've got a young family that I need to that I need to watch out for. But Peter is saying, be eager to serve. Remember that times of testing are times of opportunity to trust God with desperate dependence. Remember that we have a God whose strength comes through most clearly and powerfully in times of weakness. Be eager to serve. And then the third thing that he says is be examples. Be shepherds, be eager, be examples. Verse 3. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but be examples. Lording it over refers to persons who are more concerned about titles and positions and power. Friends, the true test of a faithful pastor or a faithful parent is our whole lives. Are we examples? Do we demonstrate integrity? When the fiery trials come, or in other words, the tough times come, do we walk away? Or do we walk through the fiery trials with the sheep, with the flock, with our children? Be examples. Now, I want to wrap this up by reminding you of three things that the Apostle Paul told the young Pastor Timothy ought to be exemplified in his life. Now, this is especially for pastors, but I think it's important for all of us. 2 Timothy 2:15, three things that ought to characterize our lives. This comes under the heading of being examples. Paul said this to Timothy: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. The characteristic that ought to define us most as pastors, as leaders and elders of the church, and perhaps as parents, is that we seek to please God. And somehow folks sense that from us, that more than anything else, we seek to please God. There's going to be all kinds of influences coming against our lives, and there's going to be people pressure. Some people are going to want us to go this way, and some people are going to want us to go this way. And as a family of faith, we want to prayerfully listen to one another. But deep in our hearts, we want to be tuned to that one voice. And at the end of the day, the great question is God well pleased? Is God well pleased? Here's the second characteristic that Paul said should characterize a pastor and a leader, parent. He said, be a workman that does not need to be ashamed. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? Let's continue to be the kind of people who trust God to build into our lives the character of the high calling of the kingdom of God that we teach. Did you follow that? Let's continue to be the kind of leaders, the kind of pastors and parents who trust God to continue to build into our lives the character of the high callings of the kingdom of God that we teach. And let's realize that there can be no fruit in the kingdom of God without abiding in Him. No fruit in the kingdom of God without abiding in Him. And so every day, let our lives be filled with times of rich fellowship with God, and every week ought to have times of Sabbath rest. The third thing, Paul says, Chris, John, elders, Sunday school teachers, you guys, your lives ought to be characterized by this. You're people who correctly handle the truth. You're known as people who correctly handle the word of truth. Chris, and may I include you, Ginger, in this, continue to exude your confidence in the scriptures. We have already caught that contagion from your lives. We have already sensed from you your sincere love for the scriptures. And continue to remind us of how the Holy Spirit wants to help us to live the truth. We have caught the enthusiasm that you have for the scriptures, and now continue to remind us how the Holy Spirit wants to help us to live the truth. Because sometimes as we reflect in our lives, we realize that we're long on information and we're short on transformation. God has spoken to us in this book, not just to inform us, but to transform us. Let us be known as persons who correctly handle the word of truth. Finally, in closing, I want to leave you with this verse from Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. Chris, this verse reminds us of the holy honor that God has entrusted to us. And it reminds us of how we need to keep watch over ourselves and how we need to keep watch with reverent love over one another, because Satan will especially seek to derail the called out leaders. At a time when the church is moving forward, Satan will especially seek to derail the called out leaders. And so we need to watch out we need to watch over our own lives and with reverent love watch over each other's lives. And let us keep watching over this great church that Jesus loves. And this great church which God has positioned to be a crucial part of the transformation of this whole region. Chris, my brother, my colleague in ministry, you have already blessed my life. You have already been a blessing in the church here at Finland. And I look forward to serving with you in God's coming kingdom.